today as we come to the table.
You did this so that you could elevate me to this position? Oh, Lord, when all that was happening, I was miserable and I never dreamed it would be used for anything good. But I see your sovereign hand and oh, are you good? That's exactly what God does in our life. He sends us through these times that we're in the midst of and we say, how could this be for good? How could all this pain and hurt and suffering, God, how could you use this? And God says, one day you're gonna see. And when the time is right, I'm gonna lift you up out of that dungeon. I'm gonna say, you're the man, you're the woman, and I've called you to do this. And if we stay faithful, God will use us in a great way. I love it. And so Joseph, now again, you talk about a rags to riches story. It doesn't get any more dramatic than this.
Even in our toughest times, God is there. In today's message, Pastor Mark says that though Joseph was in the pits, in the end, God brought him out of it because he trusted God's plan. Though Joseph was in a hard time, he knew that God was going to bring him through, and God rewarded his faith by making him chief. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. When you trust God, you're able to have immense hope in times of trial. God will bring you through the pit that you're in. Sometimes God will put you in the pit to make you stronger. Next time you're in a trial, have hope that God is right by your side. He loves you and is walking with you every step of the way. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 41 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Secondly, I want you to recognize that it's the boldness that Joseph has here. And again, this is another characteristic of maturity in the Christian life, and that is boldness. You know, I think about there's certain people that we might be able to share with. You know, maybe we could share with someone if the moment was right and we really, had our courage up and we shared with them and it's a private thing or whatever. This was a public official. And not just any public official. This would be like standing before the President of the United States and having him be an unbeliever. And having him believe in other gods and having him call you before him to get an answer for something he needs. And you say, you know what? The God that you serve and all these gods, they have nothing for you, but the God that I serve, he can give you an answer. This was an incredibly bold thing that Joseph did. You see, they had multiple gods in Egypt. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh believed that he was a god as well. And they taught the society that Pharaoh was a god. And now this Joseph stands before Pharaoh and says, you know what? It's not the gods that you serve, nor is it you, Pharaoh, but my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will give you an answer. The God that I serve, and they all knew the Hebrews had a different God, than the Egyptians did. They had their own gods. And he says, my God will be the one. And it's interesting here, when he names God, he calls him Elohim. In the original language, it's the word Elohim. And why is that interesting? Because Elohim is the creator. In the beginning, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. That's the word that's used there. And now Joseph speaks to him about his God, not their gods, but his God is the creator of the universe. And by the way, in other words, he was saying, not only is it not your God, it's my God that created everything. He's over your gods and he's over you, Pharaoh. This is the God that will give you the answer. And so we see this incredible boldness that he had here before this high official in public. And not to mention that Pharaoh held his very life in his hands. Pharaoh could have put him to death. And yet he says, no, I'm going to tell you about my God, and my God did it in boldness. And that's another thing that happens with maturity is a boldness comes, and not only a boldness comes, there's this thing that happens where you don't really care what other people think. I used to care all the time what other people think. It starts as a kid. You go to school and you want to be cool, right? That wasn't supposed to rhyme, but it did. And you want to, you do all the things you think that are going to make you cool, right, in front of all your friends and your peers. And then you get older and you got this same kind of thing at work and in life where you don't want to look foolish. Maybe you're not trying to look cool all the time. You start mowing the grass in your dark socks and your dress shoes and shorts. That's something that should never happen to anyone. And yet something happens. We have brain freeze when we get older and we do that. And we know that their neighbors are laughing at us the same way we used to laugh at the neighbors when we were kids, you know, watching. That guy's out there in dress shoes and dark socks. Now we're doing it, going, don't look. Nobody look, right? I don't know what happens to us. But, you know, part of it is we don't care anymore, do we? There's nobody we're trying to impress. And there's a neat thing about getting older in the Lord. You really don't care about impressing anybody, do you? You know, now I remember early on, especially early on, you know, in the Lord and all, there's people I looked up to and I wanted to impress them and I wanted to seem important, you know, and all this kind of thing and all. And God took me through a whole series of things with specific people that I really used to look up to and just completely humiliated me in front of them and also brought them down in my eyes in the sense of where I had them. And God said, you know, you need to quit worrying about what other people think, Mark. The fear of man is a snare. You've got to be bold. It's like God told Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah was standing up and speaking the truth in his day in a nation where everyone was turning against God. The whole nation was turning. God was about to judge that nation. The whole nation was turning against God except for Jeremiah and Baruch, his right-hand man that was helping him and all that he was doing. And Jeremiah said, that's it. Every time I preach about God or say things that's true, Lord, everybody gets mad at me. I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm tired of it. It's a lot easier just to be quiet. So I'm just going to be quiet. And it was Jeremiah in his youthful frustration, you know, wanting people to like him, not wanting to be the one that's always attacked. And of course, none of us want to be attacked all the time. But if you speak for the truth, you're going to be. And God spoke to Jeremiah and said, you know what, Jeremiah, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to keep up with the chariots? What are you going to do when the horses come? In other words, it's going to get a lot worse than this. This is small stuff. And, you know, God has to mature us and grow us to a place where we say, you know what? I'm scared to share with my neighbor and my friend and my family. God says, you know what? If you can't run with the footman, what's going to happen when you have to speak to Congress? What's going to happen when you get a camera in front of you and the city mayor asks you a question because there's been a terrorist attack in Knoxville, Tennessee, and, you know, you happen to be in some position where God gave you an opportunity to speak? What are you going to say? God's got to mature us. God, I'm not saying there's going to be one. God forbid. I hope there never is. My point is, we don't know what's going to happen in our lifetime, and especially the days that we live in, where suddenly there's going to be either a camera in our face that's going to reach the entire world or a world leader in front of us that's going to say, what is it about you that's different, and what do you have to say about this situation? And we're going to go, ha, 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 ha. Are we going to say, well, it's good to be nice, and everybody should just honor God? Or are we going to say, this world's in sin, and Jesus Christ said that if we don't repent, we'll be eternally condemned? And God is now judging us and warning us that we need to turn from our sin. And if we want any hope, we need to turn to God now. And we have to make a decision. What are we going to say? Joseph had to be in a place where God trained him and made him ready and got him through all this stuff where he said, I don't care anymore. I've been a slave. I've been in prison. What are you going to do? Throw me in jail? My God will give you the answer. You're wrong, Pharaoh. It's not your God. You're not God. It's not your way. My God. And I know he didn't go into all that detail, but by saying that my Elohim, he knew the name. When he said Elohim, Pharaoh would have said, I don't know an Elohim. I don't know these gods. He would have known this was a different name than any of the gods he knew. And yet Joseph says, no, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about my God. And my God will give you an answer, but it's going to be from him. He's the one that sits on the throne. So he says, I can't do it. My God will. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in the dream, I stood on the bank of the river, and suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And then, behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. And when they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as the beginning. So I awoke. You know, they ate them up, and still nothing was there. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. And behold, the seven heads withered, or rather seven heads withered and thin and blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads, so that I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. And then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Wow, I love it. He spoke authoritatively. He said, you know what? You've had these two dreams, but the images are different, but it's the same dream. God has spoken to you, Pharaoh. And now Pharaoh's ears are really perking up. He says, the seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I've spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following it will be very severe. And the dream which was repeated to Pharaoh twice, or rather was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God and God will shortly bring it to pass. Again, notice this, whenever God speaks to us, he will always confirm it. We've talked about this through the whole process with Joseph and the dreams. And now we see again, God speaking very clearly to Pharaoh and now God establishing it as he says by two dreams. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. That the food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. These guys, they recognized this is supernatural. They didn't necessarily believe in Elohim, the God of Israel, the true creator of all the universe. But they said, you know what? This guy not only has given an interpretation, but this is supernatural. We recognize the hand of God in his life. And when you are living for the Lord and speaking for God, people see it. They recognize it. And now Joseph sees, they see in Joseph this recognition, Pharaoh and the servants, and they say, you know what? He's not only able to interpret it, and we see God's hand in that, this guy has a plan to deal with it. God has given him wisdom. He says, here's what we need to do. Well, that's a great plan. I like that plan. And he says, you know what? Who else is going to be as wise as Joseph in this? And notice he says, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, as the man in whom is the Spirit of God? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, insomuch as God has shown you all this, and there is no one discerning and as wise as you, then you shall be over my house. And all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Wow. Now, I had no doubt Joseph was not saying all this to try to get position. He wasn't up there going, now, there's the interpretation. Here's what I would do. I'd pick some guy that, you know, can hear from God and that has a good plan in place. I'd put him there. Hint, 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 wink, wink, nod, nod, Pharaoh, right? I don't think Joseph was thinking this at all. Joseph said, I'm a slave. I'm a prisoner. I got called up. God has given me this ability. There's the interpretation. But you know what? Here's what you need to do, Pharaoh. He was so humble. I don't think it ever crossed his mind that Pharaoh would go, you're the one. And suddenly Pharaoh goes, oh, yeah, that's a good plan. I see God in your life, and that's a great, you're the one to do it. I can imagine, like, what, me? I mean, I'm a prisoner. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a slave. Well, you want me to be the one? I can imagine the shock that must have been on Joseph's face. And suddenly it began to flood into Joseph's mind. I wonder how long it took to say, this is why, God. This is why I went through the years of my brothers hating me. This is why I was thrown into the pit and my brothers sold me into Egypt. This is why Potiphar's wife lied about me. This is why I've been in prison for all these years. You did this so that you could elevate me to this position. Oh, Lord, when all that was happening, I was miserable and I never dreamed it would be used for anything good. But I see your sovereign hand and, oh, are you good? That's exactly what God does in our life. He sends us through these times that we're in the midst of and we say, how could this be for good? How could all this pain and hurt and suffering, God, how could you use this? And God says, one day you're going to see. And when the time is right, I'm going to lift you up out of that dungeon. I'm going to say, you're the man, you're the woman, and I've called you to do this. And if we stay faithful, God will use us in a great way. I love it. And so Joseph, now again, you talk about a rags to riches story. It doesn't get any more dramatic than this. And you know what's amazing to me, and I've got to hurry because we're running out of time, but you know what's amazing to me is that can you imagine after the news got out and Potiphar, remember, he worked for the king, he worked for the Pharaoh, he was there. Can you imagine Potiphar going home that day and sitting at the dinner table? And there's Mrs. Potiphar. So how was work today, honey? You're not going to believe what happened. What? Do you remember Joseph? Don't mention him at our table. He's now the second most powerful ruler in all of Egypt. And her heart must have fallen in her stomach when she realized the very man that I have accused falsely is now over me and could have me put to death if he wanted. And yet, do you ever hear a mention about Joseph going after Potiphar's wife? Do you ever even hear a mention of Joseph mentioning it? By the way, now that I'm in his authority, I have some things that need to be cleared up. There have been some political attacks. They're lies. And I'm going to be on Meet the Press tomorrow morning talking about Potiphar's wife as well as some other things. He said, God's called me to this, and I'm not going to lower myself to those that would attack and slander. I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to raise the standard and the bar. This is how a man of God operates. He's not into personal attacks and revenge. He's into saying, you know what? I can have mercy because God had mercy on me. It's time to forgive. It's time to move on. And Joseph was a man, we're going to see, who was a man of forgiveness. And he was a man of mercy. And he was a man of grace. And again, this was not in and of Joseph himself. This was God working in Joseph's life as he took Joseph through all the tests and trials. And now all the fruit of this is coming yet to bay. And so again, we see this amazing thing going on here. And so again, notice it goes on and he says there in verse 42, then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck, and he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and he cried before him, bow the knee, and so he set him before all the land of Egypt. If you had the signet ring, you basically had what you would make your mark in. You'd push it in wax or clay, and it was basically Pharaoh's signature. He's giving him all the authority. And now having everyone bow the knee to him. And Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him his wife, as wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh through all the land of Egypt. And notice this. This is interesting to me. Remember, we talked about Joseph being a type of Christ. Isn't it interesting that at 30 years old, he came into his ministry? And isn't it interesting that after his family, the Jews, rejected him, he took a Gentile bride in the land of Egypt? You today are that Gentile bride that Jesus Christ has taken for himself. Now that the Jews have rejected him, you are the Gentile bride that the Lord has taken to himself. And yet what's exciting is we see the story develop and go farther along. He's going to take his Jewish bride back. He's going to remarry the nation of Israel as he accepts his brothers and forgives them. But again, we see this whole picture that God's playing out in this episode of Joseph and what's happening in his life. And it says, now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid it up in the food in the cities, and laid it up in every city, the food of the fields which surrounded them. And Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. 7 years, that's a lot of grain. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest, bore to him. And notice what he names him. I love this. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget my toil and all my father's house. And Manasseh means making me forget. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for he said, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of affliction. And again, it means to be fruitful. Again, this is amazing to me when I see a man like Joseph and what God is doing in his life. Because Joseph, if anyone had a reason to be bitter, it was Joseph. If anyone had a reason to live in his past and say, well, God can't use me because of my past, it was Joseph. And yet notice what he does. He says this. He says, you know what? God has made me forget my past. It's done. He named his first child Manasseh, which means forgetting. My past is gone. And then he names his second child fruitful, you know, which means, you know, God's going to use him in great ways. And again, there are so many people today in the body of Christ that feel they have to live in the past, or because of their past, they can't move forward and be used by God. Guys, we've got to leave the past behind. Paul said this in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting. Note that. Forgetting those things which are behind, that is our past, and reaching forward unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what he's saying. I'm not going to live in the past. I know my family was abusive. I know that I was treated wrong by my family. I know that I was wrongfully accused and as a slave and thrown in jail. I know that all these things. I know I was accused of crimes I didn't commit. But rather than being bitter and rather than going to get all this kind of counseling on some couch in Egypt, Joseph said, that is my past. And I'm leaving my past behind, forgetting it, moving on to the upward call of Christ. There are so many believers today that never get used because they're living so much in the past and they're worried so much about their past that they can't be fruitful. Joseph says, leave the past behind. I'm done with it. I'm moving on. I'm going to be fruitful for God. Listen, every one of us, does anybody in here not have a dysfunctional family? Raise your hand. If you really don't have one, raise your hand. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I'm saying no hand was raised. These are psychological terms that have gotten in our community. There are sin in our families. There is sin in our lives. Every one of us are not operating the way we're supposed to operate. But if we keep focusing on our past and saying, but this happened and that happened and I need all this and I need to keep looking at it and living in it, you will never be used in the future for God. Because you must first, and notice the order of the names he gave them. The first one was forgetting the past, and the second one was Ephraim, now being fruitful. And I promise you this, believer, you will never be fruitful for God until you leave the past behind, ever. Because your whole life will be lived in what happened to me, and this was what happened to me, and that's not right with me, and everything's on me, and all my past. God says, drop it. Forget it. I know it happened to you. So did it happen to everyone else. Maybe yours was a little bit different. Maybe even yours was a little bit more harsh. But you've got to let it go, and you've got to move on if you're ever going to be used and be fruitful for the things of God. And so he says, you know what? I've forgotten it. I'm moving on. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, and whatever he says to you, do it. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in the land. Guys, let me finish with this, a couple of things real quickly to wrap this up. Notice this, when they ran out of nourishment, when they ran out of bread, he said, go to Joseph. Again, what happens with Jesus as our type? Joseph as the type of Jesus. Listen, if you're starving spiritually this morning, you're only going to find your sustenance in Jesus. The same place that Pharaoh sent all the countries that came to his land, that is to go to Joseph, I send to you this morning. If you want the bread of life, you have to go to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the bread that has come down from heaven, and he will give you life. Guys, are you living in the past? Do you feel like you're stuck in a dungeon? Maybe it's graduation day. Here's my encouragement as we leave today. Let it go. I'm not saying that you don't have bad memories. I'm not saying that it might take years. It may take years of healing. It may. But we can't live there. You know, when I cut myself, I don't go back and stare at it every day. I put medicine on it, cover it with a Band-Aid and say, let's go on. I know it'll heal over time. We've got to let the ointment of the Holy Spirit do the healing of the things that have happened in our past. And we've got to say, God, I make myself available. Pull me out of this pit that I may be used for your glory. And let me not go back and blame my family for throwing me in the pit. Let me not blame them for selling me down into Egypt. Let me not blame Egypt for falsely accusing me, the world for abusing me and making me their slave and whatever has happened to me and falsely accusing all this. But God, I make myself available to you, and I ask that you would use me now for your glory. And let's watch God use us for his glory. Be a Joseph. Leave it behind and watch what the Lord will do. Let's pray. Father, I do pray, God, that you would give us the ability to leave behind the things in the past that are dragging us down, that we're living in, that we're using as an excuse as to why we can't move forward into the fruitfulness that you have for us. God, we leave it behind today. We choose today to graduate. And right now, Lord, we confess that as sin before your throne. Leaving the past behind, as Paul said, forgetting those things behind and pressing on to the upward call in Christ Jesus. Yes, knowing those things affected us, but God, using how they affected us to make us more effective for you in the kingdom, in ministering to others and seeing your glory. And Father, I pray that if there are any here today again that feel they're stuck in that dungeon, saying, God, you've forgotten me and you're never going to use me again. God, encourage them to realize that if they will be faithful and keep their eyes on you, that day of graduation will come. And Lord, you will one day have them standing before their Pharaoh as second in the kingdom. Lord, maybe not in a position of authority, but Lord, definitely one that you use as authority in your kingdom and for your glory and ministry. And God, we thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.